I would too, brother. Amen.
I was shackled. He did set me free. I did see the light. I didn't shipwreck. And he knows I'd rather have him
than anything.
Than anything this world's got to offer. He's so good.
Amen.
He's so good.
That's good stuff. You may feel exactly the same way. If you do, say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Appreciate that, Tom. Turn to Hosea. Hosea 10. And look at verse 9. Someone asked me when they saw the title of the sermon today, have you give up the garden? And I said, no, I've not give up the garden. Wait till you read Hosea 10, starting at verse 9, and you'll see I haven't given up the garden. And if you know anything about gardens at all, you know that time is important. The time you start to plow, to till, to plant, to hoe, to reap. Everything is important according to time. Here's what he says. O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood, the battle in Gibeah, against the children of iniquity, did not overtake them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them, when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is an heifer that is taught, and loveth to tread out the corn. But I passed over upon her, fair neck, I will make Ephraim to ride, and Judah to plow. And Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourself in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. It is time. Let's bow our heads for just a moment and ask the Lord to bless this scripture and this message today. Lord, we are grateful that we're able to be back here again today to hear the songs, Lord, that have thrilled us for years, and still the same truth is there today. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for what you've already done for us in Sunday school. Thank you for what you've already done in the music. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do with your word now. And I praise you, Lord, for everything you have already done and what you're going to do before we leave this building today. And we're going to praise you, Lord, for everything. For those that we have requested prayer, you know each one of them, and we just lay them again at your feet and say, Lord, we give you glory and honor for answered prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalm 89, if you'd like to turn, I'll give you time to turn there. In Psalm 89, verse 45 through 48, here's what he says. Remember, we're talking about time. It is time. And in verse 45 of Psalm 89, he says this: the days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame. Selah. Think of that is what Selah means. Think of that. He wants us to think of that. He wants us today to think about time, how short it is or how long it is. But mostly when he speaks about time, he's talking about how quickly time moves by. And so he's saying, how long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shalt thy wrath burn like fire? Then he says in verse 47, remember how short my time is. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Is there one? Is there anybody who's going to live and not see death? There's no one who's not going to face up to an end of time for their life down here. Whether the Lord comes back, whether we leave before he comes back or when he comes back, our life as we know it here is not going to be anymore. And he says, is there anyone who can live and not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. Think of that. Now, in Ecclesiastes, if you'll just turn right on over there, not too far, Ecclesiastes, look, if you will, at chapter 3, and these verses of Scripture you're very familiar with. But I'm going to read them for you because we're talking about time. He says, to everything there is a season, and a time, to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. There is a time, folks, for everything. We just need to realize that our time here, according to Psalm 90, we need to realize it's not going to be here forever. We've got to realize. And you say, oh, we know that. But according to Psalm 90, we're supposed to give it extra attention, think about it, and count the days. He didn't say you'll know the end of your days. He said, but know that they're going to end. That's the difference. Why is it important to know time? The Bible's full of it from Genesis to Revelation. Time is in it from one end to the other. And so I'm asking, why is it important to know the time? Well, if there's any school-age kids in here, and I see a few, what time does school start, Brady? Yeah, you're the only one in here named Brady. What time does school start? 8:30. But you can go at 8:40, right? Or 8:50. You can go when you want to. Right? That would not be right, Brady. Shake your head this way. They would not be happy with you, okay? So you get older and you grow up and you get an education, you get a job, and you get to go to work. And you're going to say, now, I don't care what time you start, I'm not going to be here on time. What's going to happen? You'll be looking. Because work starts at a certain time, right? I mean, you like the get-off time, and when you're going to school, you like the bell that ends at the end of the day, I'm sure. But it's what time it starts that counts, right? There is a time. So time is important to us in our everyday life. There is a time to go out and eat. If someone says, do you want to go eat? And I say yes, because I always say yes. And I say yes, what's my next question? What time? I don't want to miss it. If you're going to start eating at 4, I don't want to get there at 5. Because most of the chicken's already gone out of the dumplings. Right? So you got to be there on time. It's going to happen. Let's say you guys have a ball game. You have a ball game. Your ball game starts at 7, we'll say. And when are you going to be there? Well, your coach normally says, I want you here at 45 minutes before because we got to warm up and we got to do this. But you know what time you got to be there, right? And you're there. If you're not there, there are consequences for not being on time. It doesn't matter where your appointment is. If you have an appointment, you say, I'll be there. And you're there at that appointed time because time is that important. I used to have a watch. Well, I've still got them. Maybe one of these days I'll give them out to different people. I've got a whole drawer full of different watches. And I've got one that light will charge it, you know, just the light of the day. Or light, didn't matter. It just keeps going and going. I've got Seiko watches galore. I've got a watch that has a crystal that it is so thick, it's indestructible, even for me. I've got a Mickey Mouse watch. I do, John. There was a day when Mickey Mouse was popular, John. I'm sorry, but he was. And I know all that we think about Mickey and all that stuff today. But my brother, Steve, had a jewelry store in Kingsport years ago, and he had these little Mickey Mouse pocket watches that he promoted during that time. It was Mickey's 100th100th birthday? I don't know. Anyway, it was what it was the Mickey Mouse watch, but it was the America Centennial deal. That's what it was. I got it straight. So I got one, and I got it in the little box, and the little box had the serial number of the watch, and the watch has a serial number on the back of it, and I kept it all. I have the box, and I have the watch, and every once in a while I get it out and wind it and listen to it, tick-tock, you know. Watches are important. They've been important forever. Sears would not have been in business had it not been for watches. That's what they started selling was watches. So watches have always been important because time is important. Not just for our everyday life. It's important that you know what time church starts. I see some of you smiling. But Lord, it's not important what time church starts. I know I'll be to work on time and I'll be to school on time, but do I really have to be on time at church? Is it important? Now, I'm not going to dog you. I'm not going to whip you and make you run through the gauntlet if you're not here on time. But time is important. When I started church back when I was about 2 years old, actually, I started the week after I was born, if you want to know the truth. And I've been in church since the week I was born. But when I was in my first little Sunday school class, I remember a little card we filled out, and one of the things on the card was, did you bring your Bible? And your parents usually back then would make sure you had a little Bible. But one of the questions on that little card that you filled out that made a difference in it was, were you on time? I remember that. So it always has been important to me that I would be on time in God's work. So I've always tried to be on time. That's just the way it is. Amen? That's why we wear watches. That's why we have cell phones now, by the way. It's not just for calling. It's for finding out what time it is. We know exactly now because everybody has the same time. So why is it important for you to know what time it is? Well, because, and I know you're going to say, Dan, surely you're not going to throw that on us again. Time is of the essence. Time is of the essence. That may not mean a whole lot to you, but it means a whole lot to the rest of the world and how the world goes. It means a whole lot to those folks down at the courthouse. So if you legally get in trouble or you go to buy a house, anything that has legal contracts with it, you'll know that time is of the essence. Because here's what it means, in case you needed a definition. It's a need for haste in action or response. In other words, as soon as you find out what needs to be done, you don't put it off on your own. You do something about it because it needs to have something done. It needs some action or a response. It must be done immediately. There is no leeway here, okay? This is a legal thing we're talking about. A contract that requires a prompt and timely fulfillment of obligation. Now you may be wondering, what in the world does that have to do with spiritual things? Has a whole lot to do with spiritual things. I believe it's the right thing to do to be on time. Amen? Now I'll get into the message deeper here in a minute. Y'all just stick with me because we're talking about time. It's important that we treat time important because it is. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12 says, the night is far spent. I think that's what some of the kids say nowadays as they stay up till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning playing games. The night is far spent. Well, we know what happens the next day. They can't operate. Right? Yeah. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. It's here. The sun's shining, it's bright, it's started, the day's going. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And we're getting spiritual now, see. We're getting into the things that mean something for eternity. You may lose a job and get another one because you weren't on time. You may have to go to detention because you weren't on time at school. You may have to write 1,000 times, I will not be late ever again. I tell you, by the time you write all that, you'll never be late, Brady. Let us therefore cast off works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So it's time, if there's something going on in your life, and that's what this is all about. We're gardening, folks. We're gardening. Our lives are being plowed every day. We're getting ready to plant, either in our own personal lives or we're going to plow, help someone else plow their garden. We're going to help this matter. So here's what he says. It's time to make a change. If you are just going along as a Christian, you're just going along and doing what it takes to get by, and when God speaks to you, you've okayed where you are in your Christian life. It doesn't matter if God's word says no, you're not there. You are the one who says, oh, I'm okay. I know where I am and everything's fine. Well, I'm telling you that according to this message today, it's time to make a change. If that's where you are, I'm not saying you are, I'm saying you only know where you are. If you're lost today, it's time to make a change because you don't have the promise of tomorrow. We're dealing in time here. You don't have the promise of another minute, actually. So what should we think of this farmer? Because we're going back, we're in the garden. What should you think of this farmer? Y'all remember the word fallow, fallow ground? Remember what it was? Fallow ground is ground that has been plowed and tilled and ready, but nothing's ever done. I pause to let you think. It's ground that has been plowed and tilled and nothing has been done with it. Isn't that sad? that we would go to all that trouble of plowing and tilling and nothing has ever been planted. So he says, and this is eye-opening, that we should, if we're going to be the farmer in this gardening process, we cannot allow our ground to lay fallow. Because the word fallow means waste. It's a waste to have the ground ready and then no planting going on. Folks, the reason that God's doing this through me for Liberty Fellowship Church is that we find out that there's gardening to be done, that there's planting to be done. But before we do that, and we said last week, we got to plow the ground up. It's got to be plowed up. We got to turn all those weeds under. We've got to bring those nutrients that are deep down in that ground to the top, because we're going to plant some things, and if it's going to be done right, it has to be plowed and tilled first. But for a farmer to just allow his fallowed ground just lay there and do nothing, we don't think much of him, do we? Because see what's happening, he's just neglecting his ground. And you say, well, that's terrible that he would do that. But I have something a whole lot more worse than that, and that is that we allow our lives to lay fallow. And that's whether you're saved or you're lost. And you know where you stand with God here today. And he's going to ask you for a decision when this message is over. You can rest assured. It's there. It's built in that he's going to ask for a decision. So if you're saved or you're lost, he's going to want to know, are you neglecting your soul? Are you neglecting your spiritual life? Because if you are, here's what happens to fallow ground. Weeds take over. Any of y'all familiar with Boone Lake? Have you noticed what's come up since the water went down? Everything came up. Well, that's what happens in our lives, folks. When we're not taking care of our lives and we're not taking care of that plowed and tilled land that God plows us with. Remember, his word is the plow. As he plows us with his word, if we just take that and we just cast it to the side, weeds are going to come up. All kinds of weeds. And weeds aren't popular with me, and they're certainly not popular with God. So they come up and they just fill up everything. You can't get all those weeds out. They grow so fast. That's what happens to our lives. See, God reasons with us. Here's what he's saying to us. For it is time. He's reasoning. For it is time to seek the Lord. He's saying, I've got an answer for you. If that's where you are, I have an answer. I want you to seek the Lord. And if you'll do that, you'll find out that everything's going to be okay. Now that we have set the scene for the message, let's get into the message. You say, well, I thought we'd just gone through the whole thing. Oh, no. No, we've just been talking about time. We've just been talking about watches. We've just talking about school and work, and appointments, anything that has to do with a set time. Well, now let's take the verse of Scripture where he's talking about time and break it down, because here's a few questions I'm going to ask. When is it time? Now, that'd be the same thing as me saying, you say, well, I want you to come over for supper, Dan. And I'd say, what time? Well, this is the same thing that's going on here. When is it time? If he's talking about time here in Hosea, when is it time? Well, the first three words that he gives us here tells us that there is no doubt that it's time now. Whatever the time is, there is no, you don't have till, let's say, 12 o'clock. You don't have till 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. When God says it's time for you to do something about your life, he's not giving you a time in the future. When he says it's time to do something, he says it's time now. Does that make sense? It ought to, because it's straight from God. He says it is time. Now, this is the hour of responsibility that he has thrown at us this morning and said, okay, I want this to stick in your life because it's important for your spiritual life that you understand you are responsible today for your Christian life or your life in general. If you're not saved, you're responsible for your life. He made all the arrangements for you to make a decision one day that you would repent of your sin of unbelief and you would ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, your Lord, and your Master, and you're going to bring Him in. It's you are going to set that time. God's not going to say you have a time in the future. He says it is time. It's your responsibility now. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and chapter 6 and verse 2, he says this, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I aided thee." In other words, if you need some help here getting saved, he has all the help you need right here in his word. And he's told you, all of us know that to be saved, you just need to repent of your sin of unbelief and ask him to be your Savior. You don't have to write a book on how to be saved. God made it so simple and so plain. And if you're not saved, you'll face the end of your life the way you lived it. Because he's given you the time, and it, which is now, he's given you the aid, that's what he said, I have aided thee in the time of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Did he say that? He did. He said now, not tomorrow. You want to live tomorrow the way God wants you to live it. And the only way you can do it is do what he said today, because today is the day. Now is the time. This is when you need to be saved. And then tomorrow you can face that really the way he wants you to live, which is the good life. You won't have to doubt anymore what he wants from you. You won't have any doubts whatsoever, because you're going to know that you did what you were supposed to do and he saved you. So he says, I've aided you in the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's pretty plain, folks. What time is it? It's time, if you're lost, to be saved. What time is it? It's time for you as a Christian to get your act together and start living for the Lord. Not just living as a Christian, but living a life for the Lord. It's time we did something. Now, when God is getting your attention, has God ever gotten your attention before? I see some of you saying, oh, yeah, I can read faces pretty good. When God is getting your attention, I would say to you, according to this scripture, go to him quickly. Because not only does he say it's time, he would say another way, it is high time. Now, high time tells me there are no seconds to waste. It's high time that we do what God has for us. In John chapter 14, he says, if you don't, a worse thing will happen. He says, lest a worse thing come unto thee. So we have a decision to make. You see, God's mercy and gentleness, and he does. Man, he's touched me in so many ways by his mercy and his gentleness and his kindness. And if I didn't listen to him when he was using that, then I realize he has a chastisement for me. And I'm saying to us, when he's speaking to us and he's saying it's time, please know it's time to do something about your life. Time has come to ask Jesus into your heart. If you're lost today, this is the day that you ask him to come in to your heart. Don't wait till tomorrow. You say, oh, but I've felt this way before and I got by. How dangerous is that? Because that's not going to always be what you can say. It's not. And you don't know when. No one knows the day or the hour. It's time. It's time when you feel like a message like this is directed at you. Have you ever felt like that? I know most of us have. I've sat in the same section of the building you have, and I've said, Lord, that's for me. I know you're speaking to me. I know you are. And I'm saying to you, if you feel like that this gospel message is for you, please do something about it. Because that's what he's saying here. If you feel it's aimed at you, it's okay if it's aimed at you. Amen? The fact is that you get it. If you feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit trying to convict you and convince you that you're lost and you're going to hell, please listen to him, because it's time that you listen. The Holy Spirit's just trying to get your attention. It's time. It's time for what, you would ask. It's time for what? Well, he goes on in that verse of Scripture to tell us what? To seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. You don't have to, it's not time to find a different group of people to be your church family. It's not time for anything else except to seek the Lord. You don't have to be anywhere, anyhow, anytime. Just seek the Lord. That's what he said. What are you to do? Seek the Lord. If you're saved, he says, I want you to draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. That's not for the lost now. That's for the saved. If you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. And I would say to you, if you're saved today, seek the Lord in worship. I love worship time, don't you? We're worshiping all of us together in the same word. There's no different Bibles here. Amen. It's all the holy word of God, and we're all in it. And we're worshiping him and everything that he has to say here. So the child of God, we worship him. When we go to him in prayer, we're worshiping him. When we sit in a congregation like this, we worship him. We hold him up high and holy. The psalmist put it this way. He said, seek the Lord and his strength. So if you need something from him today, just seek it out. At the same time you're seeking him, say, Lord, this is what I need. He wants to talk to you. But now if you're lost, it's a little bit different. You have to ask for the pardon at his hands through the atonement of his son, Jesus Christ. Now that's not complicated. I may have said it a little complicated, but it's not complicated. You recognize that his son is the savior of the world, and you say to God the Father, God, I want your son as my savior. That's where, and so you're seeking him out so that you can be saved today. I would say to you, wallow in it. Everybody knows what wallowing means. Waller in the fact that it's a blessing for him to come in here this day. For every one of you are here, there's not a person in here that's sitting in this seat today that was not supposed to be here. Not a one. Everybody here today is here to hear this message at this particular time. And at this particular time, you're going to do something with it. You're going to know that it's time to do something. You're going to know that the thing you're supposed to do is seek the Lord out, whether you're lost or you're saved. You seek him out and say, Lord, what do you want with my life? Well, if you're lost, he wants you saved. That's what he wants. He loves you that much that he wants you saved. So I say waller in this blessing that he's got for us here today, and just live every day in the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Live in it. How long does he want us to do this? It's time, he says, to seek the Lord. How long does he want you to do that? See, I answer all the questions. You probably had that question. How long do I do this? Well, that verse answers it. Here's what he said. He said, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. That's how long. You just keep on seeking him. If you're a child of God, you never stop seeking him. Never. You're going to seek out what he wants for you today. He may have had something different for you yesterday than he will today or tomorrow. So you continue to go to him and say, God, what do you have for me today? Lord, whatever you have for me, I want to be in it. I want to be a part of it. I want to be there. So Lord, what do you have for me? And he says, well, you just keep on seeking because I'm going to rain righteousness on you. And by the way, the raining of righteousness is not a one-time rain. And the word rain here means saturated. It's not a sprinkle. Amen? It's not a mist, as we would say. This is a downpour rain. He's raining righteousness upon you. If you look that up, you'll find it means saturated. I know the meaning of the word saturated, and I'm not going to go through that whole motorcycle trip I took a couple years ago from Johnson City to Atlanta, but I can tell you this, it's about the same distance from here to Atlanta it is from here to Nashville. So if you've never been to Atlanta and you've been to Nashville, you know what it would be like riding a motorcycle in a pouring down rain all the way. No difference. Every mile was a downpour rain. I was saturated. And you say, well, didn't you have rain gear? Yes, I did. It was saturated too. I was saturated. I know the meaning of saturated. That's why I can tell you that when he rains down righteousness upon you, he saturates you with it. And I want you to know the feeling of saturated. I want you to know that there's not one place on you that's dry. You are saturated by the righteousness of God. How wonderful is that? He says, I want you to keep it going because I'm going to rain on you and I'm going to rain righteousness. I'm going to saturate you. If you feel like the Lord is raining on you today, just look up and thank him for it. That's one of his benefits, by the way. Oh, yeah. It's a benefit of God for him to rain righteousness. And the meaning of the word righteousness is simply right. So if you feel like you need to be right, that's God raining it on you so you know you need to be right. He's raining it. It's a blessing. It's a benefit of ours that he opens our minds, our souls, and says, I'm raining on you, righteousness. You need to be where I want you to be. It's time. His grace, his mercy, everything, he reigns. If Jesus is calling you today for some way to enlarge your life with him, whether it is to be saved or whether it is to get more involved in his work and be more of a warrior and a soldier for him, I would say to you, it's time. Please do it. For you, he wants it for you. So if that's what he wants from you, I would say to you, and I know that I get, when I'm trying to win somebody, the Lord, they say, well, it's a little too late for me. He doesn't listen to me anymore. I've rejected him so many times that he doesn't. I disagree with you. I disagree with you. If he's speaking to you, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, it's not too late. It is never too late if you feel him speaking to you. Remember that. It is never too late. So if he's speaking to you today, he's saying, I'm giving you another chance. It's time that you do something with your life. It's time that you seek the Lord. Break up that fallow ground that's in your life and sow and reap what God wants you to reap, because it's time that you seek the Lord. A verse of scripture that I never read today, but I held it off just till the end of this message because I want to read it now. Verse 13, if you still have your Bibles open. Here's what he says about us. And if you're lost today, he's pointing his finger right at you with the Holy Spirit. Ye have plowed wickedness. He's letting us know there's a different thing to plow. Ye have plowed wickedness. Ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies. because thou didst trust in thy way. Wow. You decided. That's what he's saying. You decided what you were going to do with your life. And it's bugging you. I know my Holy Spirit is not lying to me. He's after you, and you know he is. And you're saying, oh, no, not today. And he's saying, listen, you've gone long enough. You've plowed wickedness, and you've reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. See, what we do is we surround ourselves with other people of like mind. That becomes our little army. We can hide inside this little army. And if God speaks, we hide inside the things we have come up with ourselves. That's the way I'm going to live. It doesn't matter, God, what you say that I need to do in here. I have my life all figured out. I've got all my friends around me. We talk about God every once in a while, and we do the... It doesn't matter, God. I've got my own life. Let me tell you something, folks. If it's not according to this word right here, it's not right. It's not right, and you will not be reigned on with righteousness, and you will not go to heaven. If you live your own life and it's not according to this, you won't go to heaven. You will go to hell. I don't want you to. I want to be in eternity with you in heaven. That's where I want to be. And I realize that on a nice Sunday morning, you come and sit among good people, and you say, well, that's hard to take. It's the truth. It's the truth. And Satan would rather you not believe the truth. He would. But I'm asking you to realize that it's time to seek the Lord, and he'll rain righteousness on you. You'll have a life like you have never believed could happen. You'll live a life of right. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the message. We thank you for applying it to our lives. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that can't honestly leave this building and say, I am saved and ready to go to heaven, Lord, I pray that today will be that day that they make that choice. God, give them the strength and the courage to step out and walk forward and say, I want Jesus Christ as my Savior. We'll praise you for it, because we know that it all belongs to you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.